Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight, returning, always a pleasure to talk to him, Archie LaSalle. He's an artist, photographer, teacher, and activist. And we're going to continue talking. I want to talk about teaching photography and Archie's trips abroad. Archie, welcome back. It's really always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
I had so much more I wanted to talk to you about. First of all, there's an international aspect to your artistic life, which I thought was really, really fascinating, and I wanted to know more about. You got an artist's residency, and was it Vence, France?
Right. It was in Vence, France, back in 1986.
Now, you may be used to stuff like this. How do you even get something like that?
Well, right before that, I had been working on this project along the Southwest Corridor Orange Line project.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And so I was doing that work, and I couldn't really get an exhibition anywhere, couldn't get any sales of my work, couldn't get any real, what I would call, a foothold in the art world. And so I went down to New York on 14th Avenue. There's this building, we used to call it the Grant Foundation. And so I went there and started looking up grants. And I looked up grants that would pertain to my work that I was doing, not, you know, trying to find something and go out and do a project and have the work fit it. And so I came across this place in France, and I was like, oh, I've always wanted to go to France. And so it was the Caroli Foundation. The owners of the foundation was Hungarian, but they had moved to France. In fact, Judith Caroli's husband was the president of Hungary for a while until they kicked him out. And so they went to France and they started a foundation for artists. And so I wrote to them explaining about the work that I was doing, and I didn't hear from them for several months. And then, boom, it said you received the grant, a three-month stay in the south of France. And that's where I met James Baldwin.
Oh, my God. No,
Harry Goodman, Benny Goodman's brother. So all of these people was living there, some of my heroes. I mean, I was just really excited.
Okay, well, slow down. So this is your first trip to Europe or just to France?
First trip to Europe, which I've been trying to get to since I was like 3 years old, I called myself running away from home. I think I told you that my grandfather says, you can't run away from this place. Your shoes are tied, boy. You got to learn how to tie your shoes. And where are you going? And I said, paradise. And I was trying to think of France, I guess. I'd heard that word somewhere.
So you're going to walk me through this. Like, I can't imagine what it'd be like to just like show up at a place like that and not know. Did you know anything about Vence?
I knew nothing about it. Absolutely nothing. But when I got there, you landed in Nice, of course, and you take the bus up to Vence, which is about a 45-minute ride up in the mountains, like. And so I knew nothing about the place, and I was just really excited. I knew when I got off the bus there at the Régence Café, that's where the center of town was, I knew I was home. I was I was supposed to be. I mean, it was a certain feeling that comes over you, and it's like, oh, my God, this is it. This is the place. This is the place that I had dreamt about and wanting to be one of the places. And so I just worked every day. I went out. I traveled around, you know, the area a lot. But then I was just really surprised that James Baldwin, he lived in St. Paul de Vence.
So did you actually, you met James Baldwin?
Met with James Baldwin, had lunch with James Baldwin.
Okay, you have to tell me something about Baldwin. Tell me something about that.
Had cafes. Well, James said, he says, you're still black. And I understood exactly what he was saying. And it ties into, like, I'm not your Negro type of
That's
thing.
Right.
You know, it's like no matter where you go, you have to be aware of who you are. And I've always been aware of where I am and who I am. And, you know, my grandfather was, well, he looked like a white man. He's probably biracial, Irish and French. Jonathan Poole, who I love, the person who really made me feel what love was really about, not knowing the word love, that man, I loved him. He was, oh, I went everywhere with him. That would be a story for another day, because I have some wonderful stories about my grandfather. But getting back to Vaughn's and my work, and so that's how I really got started. And then a few days later, met George Weems. He was like, I was like, wow, look at this. And so here's this, people says, why don't you have a photograph of all of these guys? See, I don't normally photograph people and the rich and famous of that doesn't really.
Plus, the fact you, don't you think it would affect the relationship?
Yeah, it, to me, it would have been more like work instead of knowing the people,
knowing
who they are. And I have photographed people, but most of the people that I have photographed, I've spent a lot of time with, are either in that particular community and all. And
well, let me ask you about your work in this first trip of of several. How did you find that it changed your work, your focus, the way that you approached your subjects?
Oh, absolutely not, because to me, from the very first class I took at Mass College of Art, I walked in there and I said to Nick Nixon, I said, and to the class, I will graduate with honors. And it was like, oh, my God. And I even said to Nick Nixon, I said, if I was photographing as long as you, I would be just as good as you, if not better. And that's pretty ballsy to say, isn't it?
I would say so. I'm surprised he passed you.
Well, he said, you know, he said back in those days, he said something like, well, if you miss 3 days, three classes, you've automatically flunked my course. And I said, and Nick and I are the same age. I started Mass Art at 30 years old, and he was 30 when I started in 1978. And I said, look it. I says, I'm a single father. I have 1.5 kids, an Irish setter, and an MG. And all of those things requires my attention. And I says, there will be times that I will miss class. And I said, my kids come first, always. My family comes first. And after that is when I said the statement about I'm graduating with honors and I'll be tops in this class by the time I graduate. And I did graduate with honors, and I was tops in my class in 1982 in photography for Mass Art and won several awards. So
you really know what you're going to do. You're one of these self-directed people.
Right. I knew that at some point you have to always give what you're pursuing. You have to know about the history of it. You have to know about the present and how and project the future, but also know who you are as a person and how you fit into that. And know that, you know, there's always something to learn. And the trick is to stay in the moment. So being in Vaughn's, I knew that the most important thing of any photograph is the edges. If you don't have the edges, you don't have a photograph. Most people are concerned about what's in the middle or what's the subject.
Right, right.
I could give a damn about all of that, because if you don't have really good defined edges, you don't have a photograph. In fact, it would be a film or sculpture or something else, because photographs have edges. And if you get those edges right, and that's another reason why I use the full frame. I don't crop anything. I mean, if I have to crop a photograph, it's not a photograph.
You feel that you failed if you have to crop.
Right. It would be. Yeah. I use it as a sketch.
Yep,
I would say
this
is a good sketch to go on to something when this composition appears again, if I see it, if I'm lucky enough to see it, I'll know what to do next time. And I always sort of walk in, step back, turn the camera horizontally, turn it vertically. You got to play. You got to embrace the process. And that's part of my philosophy in teaching as well, because I find that so many students, they just want to get to the product. and they throw away the process. They throw away the creativity. They throw away the imagination. And all of these things are gifts. These are given to you, and we so readily throw them away.
Archie, can I stop you right there? Because that was, for me, that was very interesting. Has digital photography just exacerbated that problem? What's happening is everybody's focused on what's in the middle.
Exactly.
And then you just, you know, you take a bunch of shots and you don't care. And you just want to
prop away the rest.
Right. Well, that's what selfies are about. You know what I mean? Selfies are about, yeah, I'm in the middle and I'm the most important thing in that photograph. And that's it.
Yeah. Even when I'm using my little cell phone to document something, I'm always looking at the edges still. I mean,
that's
the way I was trained, you know, visually. And I call it visual literacy. And that's what it is. I'm dyslexic. But visually and spatially and all of those things, that really helps me a lot, you know.
Well, that's one of the things they found out about people who have dyslexia, is that, you're right, they may not be able to do X, Y, and Z, but they're incredible at reading visual images.
Oh, yes. So I was really fortunate to have photography find me.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's like it's not like you've got a disability or anything like that. It's just that you've got a brain that's better at doing certain things than the rest of
us. We all are so different, you know?
And yeah, yeah.
People, they use one measure, and that gets back to grades, as you were saying about school flunking. I think grades are one of the worst things ever to happen to education. It's like, what the hell is an A or a B? That doesn't explain your intelligence or the things that you need.
Well, not only that, you end up working towards the grade. You don't care. You don't care about anything else. I just want to get that A. I'm as guilty as that. When I went through high school, that's exactly what I did. I mean,
see, I didn't believe in grades, and so I gave everybody A's anyway. I had to get something. If not, I wouldn't get a check. I believe in assessments. I think
absolutely.
Also in having a dialogue and a conversation, because I found once you take the grade out of the mix. Oh, my God, the world just opened up for all of these young people.
That's right.
They don't have to work. I said, you can come in here and sit on your ass and do absolutely nothing. And these are premium seats because I only took 15 students. But you can sit here, and I'll still give you an A because, personally, I don't give a damn. But if you want to learn photography and about life and other things, I'm the person for you. You know, and that's what I do. I have kids.
I love it.
Do research on themselves, but getting back to France and all. And
oh man, that's okay. I love digressions. So let me talk to you about being in France, meeting people like James Baldwin. That has to have given you, for yourself, you're becoming more of an international person.
Mm-hmm.
What did that mean to you personally? I mean, yeah, you're still your same self, but you're your same self in a much larger theater.
Well, you know, you see these people, I mean, you go to their homes, you hang out with them, you see them in the supermarket. I mean, they're just everyday people, just like the rest of us, doing the same thing. They put out the garbage, they iron their clothes, if that's the case. They wash their clothes. But just being in that company and hearing the conversation go back and forth and being at parties, being at dinners, And just hearing people's stories, like where they come from. And nobody's putting on any airs there, or any kind of like, you know, I'm more famous than you are. I mean, George Weems, I asked him for a ticket for the Jazz Fest. He says, I'm not giving you a ticket. Why should I give you a ticket? He says, just pick up a pair of drumsticks, walk in where all the musicians go in. And, like, go find yourself a seat. He says, I have to sell these tickets. He says, it'll be a waste to give it to you. I was like, so I did. I got a
pair. Oh, come on. Are you serious?
I got a pair of drumsticks, went down to the concert, and walked in. And I hear somebody say, hey, what set are you playing? I was like, I don't know. I think, you know, I'm a black man wearing sunglasses and a beret. So,
oh, my God.
And a scarf. So, you know, and so... I was like, oh, and I'm in, and I was like, and so I see George a few days afterward. He says, well, did you go to the concert? Did you like it? Did you get in? I says, yeah. He says, it worked, didn't it? I says, yeah. So I says, could I go to all of the concerts like this? He says, of course, of course.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, we got to move this along because I still have so much more I want to talk to you about. I'm getting just lost in Vance.
Here's the deal. You and I should just have an afternoon, you know, I'll come visit you or something, or we can go out and have lunch. I mean, that's the way we used to do it in the south of France. We'll have lunch.
I can't believe you pulled that's the way we did it in the south of France. You weasel.
Really,
you weasel.
You have a European lunch, which is roughly around 2 hours, and then you have a siesta. People know this.
Now, you also had another residency in France, in Paris, at the Site International des Arts in 2007.
Yes. And so all of these, again, I couldn't get any sort of recognition, as the old story goes, which is still true here in the States, and still can't really get anything going.
And I just want to mention, for the benefit of the audience, make sure you go to Archie's website, because take a look at his photography. You know, it's like, I know why, but I still don't get it. It's like,
Well, that's why I started this grassroots organization of Where Are All the Black People At? I mean, when you look at my work and you look at anybody's work out there, I know it stands up with some of the best, some of the so-called, I hate using that word, I won't use it. It's the people that they really promote in the museums came along before. Because I have a problem with that word, especially coming from the South. I don't believe in someone else being over you, or someone else is greater than you. You're as the story goes, it's you're as good as the best and all the rest, but you are no better than the rest and all of the best. And I truly believe that. I honestly do. But I just find that trying to get recognition here in this country, period, but I live here in Massachusetts, and it's appalling. And still, to this day, the lack of exposure for black and brown photographers in the state of Massachusetts. And the thing that really gets me, Mark, is because you see, like, they have the trials for the Olympics now. You see black and brown people burning up the pavement, the track,
right,
and all of those events. The whole music world, the hip-hop world, and movies, not as much in movies, but still, you know, you see a broad range of black and brown artists and athletes and politicians even now. But when it comes to the visual arts, we are invisible, and
part of that is because that the establishment, who are the gatekeepers,
are
really, they're older people. They're all mostly white male, or sometimes white female, but they've been doing it for a long time. I noticed that's true for a lot of institutions that they are going to accept what they think is safe and what they think the audience will come to see. They have no idea what the audience is today. I can tell you right now, the audience is not what they think it is. And until that changes, until the inner workings of museums and art institutions, and we're talking about the curators and on down, until that changes and becomes more diverse.
Curators, the directors, all of them.
That's right.
Guilty as charged. I mean, it's as I call it. It's
well, you know, you're worried about your photography. I can't believe you couldn't get a job as a curator of photography at a museum. I mean, I'd rather see you be a curator of photography than a lot of other people I know.
Thank you. You know, and I know I could do that job.
I know you could do that job, and you have it. Well, first of all, the most important thing is you have the eye for it. And the knowledge. Let's continue talking about this. So wait a minute. So you're in you're starting to turn into international Archie here. You're in Paris, at the what's the Site International des Arts?
It's an artist. They give grants internationally to artists who they feel is worthy. And they give you studio space. They don't pay you any money or anything of that nature. And so when I received that, I couldn't take it at the time, which was really disappointing because there's this whole thing of trying to, the financial piece, and also, you know, I have children, and so I wanted to make sure my son was in school.
Yep.
He didn't want to go with me. In fact, he, I still tell the story, and he's embarrassed by it to this day, but he said he would rather go and stay with his grandmother in Mobile, Alabama, than to go to the south of France, of Paris, and live and be with me. And I take that. It's like, well, you really love your grandmother, and I love my mother too, but I'd be damned if I would spend another second in Mobile.
How old was he when he said that, though?
He was 13, going on 13 years
so
old.
So teenage rebellion.
Yeah.
I know what I like. I know what I want, and I know I don't want that. And
I let him make his choices.
I have to believe that today he has to have regretted that.
Of course he does.
Can you imagine being 13 and being in Paris? Holy crap.
I said, I tried to go there when I was 3 years old.
Oh, my God.
13, you know? But we make, that was a choice that I think he shouldn't have made. And that's the other thing. It's like I would never force my children
I can read you. I know how you operate.
It's like I want them to be able to make choices. I never bought them meat. I eat seafood, vegetables,
yep,
and fish. That's my diet. Since I don't remember having a piece of chicken, a piece of beef, pork,
wow,
or anything like that. And one of my nephews said, he's out in Chicago, he says, how in the world can a black man survive and live without having chicken?
Jesus.
I'm thinking, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
He says, you don't eat chicken? I said, no. And so all of these things, you know, it's a part of, you're always teaching. And speaking of teaching, I was telling a good friend of mine, Dr. Craig Bailey, I said to him the other day, we were out and about, I said, you know, I says, teaching is a lot like making risotto, you know? I says, for me, it's like most people will probably put some rice in a pot and just let it steam and walk away. But I say, to really do good teaching, it's like making risotto. You have to stand there and stir that sucker for 20 minutes to 25 minutes until it gets just right. And that's how you have to approach your teaching. The whole thing about education, especially when you're teaching the young, you have to stay there with them and making sure that they understand the process, make sure they embrace the process, that they know the history. And I says, and the other thing, you got to know what the hell you're talking about. You can't just come in here and say, oh, yeah, just go in the dark room and have fun. No. This is not about having fun. This is a process of very serious art to me that you can find joy in it, but...
You know, as soon as you say that to a student, you're denigrating art because you're making it seem like it's recess. And then I understand the student's reactions. Yeah, it's like, I can just blow off the time and I'll do this.
Right.
Boy, okay, if you're listening to WISN 90.5 FM, this is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight is artist, photographer, teacher, and activist Archie LaSalle. We've been talking about his trips abroad. We've got through sort of two of them. did you just suddenly start turning, like, once you get a taste of visiting other places and other cultures, it becomes really addictive. Like, you want to see the rest of the world. And you've been to Italy. You've been to Wales. You went to China, right, to Shanghai?
I spent, 6-7 weeks in China with a family that I became really close to when I lived in Brookline. Actually, we're like family, an extended family there.
Now, that has to have been a radically different culture, though.
Well, exactly for me, because so much different than even Japan, because
right.
I couldn't drive. As a foreigner, you couldn't drive. They gave me a chauffeur, and I was driven around every place, you know. And I don't really like that, but I had to accept that, and especially by being a guest. But, you know, it all started wanting to travel and see the world. My last name is LaSalle, and, you know, he was an explorer.
Yeah.
Not a very big one in the exploring field. He just went up and down the Mississippi, as I say, but I said, I want to do more than that. I mean, Mark Twain did that crap, you know. So
I'm old enough that I went through social studies in grade school. I learned all the explorers. I learned LaSalle, you know, and I learned all the Ponce de Leon. Well, there was Ponce de Leon, Coronado, all those.
So I wanted to broaden the name of LaSalle. So what I would do at the last day of school. Huh. The very last day of school, I used to go straight from school to the airport, and then I would just take off and go to whatever country I'm going to, and I would come back the first day of school. You had to be back the first day of school. If not, they could fire you. Okay. And I wasn't very well liked by the administration because they felt as though I was a little different. I'll just leave it at that. But starting like in 93, there's Italy and France. 94, there's Italia 95, Italia 96, Japan 97. It just goes on and on and on to China, Canada, South Africa, Denmark, England, Vancouver, Argentina. It just goes on.
How are you making the decisions? What's impelling you to choose A over B?
Well, my wife and I, Tess Baker, Teresa Baker, the love of my life, as most people say that, and I say it with true meaning because I celebrate every month of our marriage. It's 309 months coming up.
I love that. I have a person just like that, too.
Yes, I give thanks every month. I do all of the shopping and all of the cooking. There's always fresh flowers in the house.
Archie, I have to stop you right there. We're out of time.
Oh.
I knew this was going to happen. I knew it.
So often. Oh, my word. I have so much. I didn't even get
Well, you know, there's always another. There's another interview. Because I got to talk to you more about China, and I want to talk to you about South Africa. And apparently I want to talk to you about Italy. I knew you went to Italy. I didn't know you went multiple times, but those are stories for other days.
Oh, most places I try to go back to.
We're going to talk about it on another interview. My returning guest tonight is artist, photographer, world traveler, teacher, activist, Archie LaSalle. Please check out his website if you want to see examples of the kinds of work he does, which I think is just aesthetically spectacular work, beautiful photography. Archie, we'll talk again.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this.
I loved it. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.